that. And board members, as I was just about to begin segueing into the workshop, I was saying that on August the 3rd, we had your planning workshop, and we talked about our students. And I will remind you that we have the three faces that we think about. We have Sophia, who represents the entire district. Our San Angelo and La Mesa campus is Sophia. Our SWID campus, Jose. The Big Spring campus, Alice. And those students, they vary by their ages. They represent, again, that's just what we see as on an average. Sophia is on both the San Angelo and La Mesa campus. She's about 25 years old. She is in San Angelo. She's full-time, and she prefers to take her coursework face-to-face. In La Mesa, she's part-time, and she's mainly online. Jose, at SWID, he's 22, and he's full-time, and he is face-to-face. Alice, mainly the Big Spring campus, we see a full-time student, 23, mainly taking face-to-face classes. Now, when we look at our continuing ed students, we're going to see on the San Angelo campus an average age of about 38, and on the Big Spring campus, an average age of about 35. So that helps us set up as we move into this conversation about our students and the way we budgeted and the kinds of things that we're trying to think about. We keep these people in mind. And, of course, we have students of all ages, not all ages, but 16 up to, 70, 80. And we have students that come from all walks of life. But this is what we see in general. So as a result of that conversation about our students, we talked about strategic goals and what we wanted to do. And so based on the conversation we had at the meeting, the general direction was we all knew we had to get through the pandemic first, COVID. 19, that is clouding everything, not clouding, I say challenging everything, and so we are obviously going to be dealing with that. At the same time, as important as that is, we still, the success of our students, we're going to take care of that safety and health first, but then as a student, we're going to move up Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and we're going to try to do everything we can to help them reach their goals. And so we've tried to build in initiatives that are going to accomplish some of those things that are important. Workforce training is critical because as we're moving through this pandemic, the thing that we're seeing is a lot of people have lost jobs. And a term that is being used more and more is something called micro-credentialing. And there's an interest in short-term training, what we can do to help people get back into the workforce quickly. And there's an initiative that is being created, and it's moving quickly, quite frankly, called the 300 by 300, and it's basically to get people back into jobs. There's about 300 jobs that have already been noted that we need to work on, and there's about 300,000 people that we're trying to work to see if we can get back into jobs. And so those are very important aspects of what we want to do with workforce training. So when we think about all those goals, and we'll move to, and I know some of you have your PowerPoint up, and we have them behind you for those who want to follow along with the PowerPoint. Bottom line, who is going to make this happen? Our students come to us, but who really makes this happen? And it's the employees. And so we have the updated chart that we provide for you every year to kind of let you see what our how our employee numbers are across the district. And it shows, this was as of July, it actually shows us being up 4 positions, and I think probably if we were to count that today, that would be less with some of the budget work that continued. But I didn't go back and count that again because we always do it in July. But I will tell you of the 312, 3 for sure are grant-funded jobs. And so I want you to be aware of that. So then we move to who will make it happen, of course, the employees, and where are we going to make it happen? As I've already mentioned, we know that our students, for the most part, they're face-to-face. It's different this year because of what's happening with the pandemic, and so we've had more online, and we've had more of the virtual now with Zoom that we're including in our delivery. But for the most part, those students have been face-to-face, and that's their preference. And so where are we going to make that happen? Well, those are going to be at our facilities that are across the district. And so in your resources, we have provided that updated list of our projects. And you can tell from looking at it that we're whittling away at that project list, and it has been based on your guidance and your direction over the last few years that we have been working on that. So again, we're making progress. Moving then into the budget itself then and how we prepared the budget. I want to start off by giving a lot of credit always to Brenda, works around the clock to try to put this budget together, and I'm talking literally around the clock, but she also is joined by several other people. She will quickly tell you that, and I want to thank all of the individuals that have been a part of putting this budget together. It's a massive job, takes lots of time and effort, but we are ready to present to you the budget then today. So based on that last meeting and what we saw as our strategic goals, then we have tried through our work to include initiatives that are going to begin addressing those goals. And so just a high-level, quick going over that, and Emma, if you'll move to the next. Pass on it. Right. So the first thing, as far as student success, because again, that's the reason we're here. Just like we started off in the last board meeting with our workshop, our planning workshop, and we had that diagram, that chart that shows our enrollment from the very beginning to now. That is Howard College. That's why we're here. It's our students. And that chart, to me, is the most important chart. And so, obviously, we want those students who come our direction, who choose us, to have success. And that's something that we have been working diligently on for years. All campuses, through the Open Howard College Plan, in order for our students to be successful, we obviously have to keep them healthy and safe. And so those are the things that we have incorporated as a part of Open Howard College. As we mentioned in the last meeting, we have acquired an institutional Zoom license. Why did we do that? Last spring, we did a lot of online, and we were using some of the Zoom venues that were available to us, basically, but we wanted to get an institutional license that would allow us to get more students into the room with us, and to also have more control over it. So that's one of the reasons we got the institutional Zoom license, because we also found that although our students participate in the online, that Zoom, the virtual, they actually are going to prefer the Zoom over the online, because at least they can still communicate with each other. So we wanted to do what we could to advance the technology that we had put together in the springtime. And again, lots of credit to our IT people who were working diligently to pull everything together for us. Also important to student success, something we've been working on, is Unit 4 and our student information system that is a part of the Title V grant. And we are beginning to be able to move forward on the conversion of Unit 4. And what will that do for us? That will begin to help our employees, as well as our students, have technology that will enable them to be more efficient and effective. And so those are things that we intend to work on this year for advancing student success. The Title V grant, as a part of that effort, this is the last year of the Title V grant. And in the Title V grant, we had PASS centers, and basically the PASS centers that were on our different campuses were places for students to be tutored, to get additional help outside of the classroom. And we were able, over the last few years, to begin putting those in place, having individuals available to our students for that additional help outside the classroom. And as all the Title V grants work, once you begin a grant like that, the whole idea is that you assume the responsibility of what you said you wanted to do, what was important to you, and to do was improve the opportunity for our students to be successful. So in this fiscal year, we've institutionalized it. This is the last year of the grant. Therefore, we have assumed all that money that was being offset in the budget for several of our positions. The college has assumed that responsibility, but those employees continue to do the same work. So we've institutionalized our PASS centers. We also, the dual credit software, as you know, dual credit is a big part of our operation. About 50% of what we do is with our dual credit students. And so there's some software that we have included in the budget that will allow us to be more efficient in the work with our school districts. Employees. Again, because of the importance of the employees in achieving the strategic goals that we've set for ourselves, we've also built in, the salary schedule steps for all of the different schedules that we have. As I've already mentioned, we've institutionalized the Title V positions. And we have rebanded some non-exempt positions based on responsibility changes and needs of the district and campuses. And that, again, depends on the particular campus and situation. For our SWID campus, we found that our budget was much tighter. And as we move into this budget planning, or the explanation of how we put the budget together, we had to take all of that into account. We had to think in terms of what was happening with enrollment. And we were already seeing some glimpses of that during the summer. And as we tracked our enrollment, we were concerned that we were going to be seeing some decreases in enrollment. And that's playing out. We're not the only college that is seeing that. Our SWID budget is highly impacted by student enrollment due to the fact that we get a state appropriation for SWID, then on top of that we get tuition and fees mainly from students outside of the state and hearing students in the state, because our deaf students in the state get tuition waivers. but the rest of the tuition and fee money that's generated by SWID can only come from out-of-state students and the hearing students in the state. Obviously, with the pandemic, we're seeing challenge with that. We're seeing students and families who are not comfortable with their college-age student traveling through airports, coming across all those different states to come to college. And so we have been challenged with that. We built that in. As a result of that, as we decreased our revenue expectation, we also then know that for years we have had the district provides services for our SWID campus. Therefore, we do not have to have certain positions on the SWID campus because the district is providing those. Those have been, for years, a percentage of those salaries have been paid by the SWID budget, and then the district budget does the offset of that. We changed that percentage, and we took it from, on the exempt positions, we went from 20 to 10%. And on the non-exempt positions, we went from 20 to 0%. And so that was a cost savings for the SWID budget, but it was a cost to the Big Spring budget. But the result of that is the overhead, there's not as much overhead district operations-wise because of the fact that we're seeing the enrollment decreasing. At SWID, we also reduced the employee list by two positions in an effort to try to make budget. Our San Angelo campus, we were also challenged with enrollment. They did a super job of going through and lowering expenses. Also did a super job of getting local support to help us with some positions that we added. We had a position that was in the budget last year, and quite frankly, we've not been able to fill it. And I think that reflects our salary, and we've talked about that before. But we have an HVAC position that had been frozen, and we have it still in. And that position, though, by not being able to fill those positions, then it impacts other employees. And so that's something that we're still trying to achieve. On the Big Spring campus, we had two of our grounds people who have been, they've been helping because they have skills in welding and in locksmith, which is a big need. We have been having them assist with some of that. And so we changed up those positions some and added in a groundskeeper as a result to be able to offset the loss of their effort. So as I've already mentioned, and on the next slide, that slide then shares what our rate history has been and what was recommended, as I said, for our employees. I'm happy to report that as far as our employees, they, as far as the insurance costs, have actually gone down 46 cents a month, 32 for employee spouse, employee children, 32, and 78. So at least we're holding steady on that. As you know, some years we've actually had the insurance costs go up, but this year we've been able to see that hold a line, and that's a state point, a plan from the state level. So we don't have a lot of control over that. Workforce training. I'm moving to the next slide. This is where we began to look at what can we do to achieve some of that 300 by 300 effort. And so in the Big Spring budget, we're repurposing four positions for workforce training. The La Mesa campus will benefit from that because those repurposed positions will work with La Mesa. San Angelo, as I've already mentioned, we have two grant-funded positions, the CMA and the LVN instructor. And then we also, our Surge Tech clinical coordinator is something that we've added as we have been addressing changes in the SurgeTech program. And then SWID, we realigned a position, an existing position, so that that individual can help with our building construction. As we had an individual that left, we absorbed that position, and so we repositioned or realigned that the position that currently is in the budget and on campus, the person could help with building construction. Next slide, then, as far as operations, safety, and security. As I mentioned in the budget, we, and as our overall effort for strategic goals for all campuses, we are addressing altered operations, and we've talked about that a whole lot. Cybersecurity efforts, we continue to work on improving our walls and what we can do to make sure that we can fend off cybersecurity concerns. Security software, that also relates to what we've done with our fobs and our cameras and all of that across the college district. Security software has been upgraded, and then we also included some additional software in the budget that would help us with that. Personal protective equipment, we have included some of that already in the budget. And then we also Clery Act reporting software, and that is something that has become more complex and is something that we have to keep up with on an annual basis. And if we're not doing a good job of that, we can actually be fined. And so we want to do a good job of keeping up with reporting as we need to. SWID, and I put this in operations, safety, security because as an effort, it was a budget-saving measure, but also because of the travel that our SWID students would have to do, we put SWID athletics on hold. We do have some money still in the budget, minimal, but we didn't want, as far as just an operating budget, because we didn't want to have to start all over again, and we do want to bring SWID athletics back, but we put it on hold. And that is one of the positions that we actually had a coach that left, and so we froze that position, and we were able to absorb that money. Something that we did that was a cost, but it is something that we knew was important going forward, and that was we absorbed the safety and security increase that we actually had from this current year budget. And that is with what we did with Guardian, if you remember the Guardian contract that we have. And that has been very successful for our campuses this year. And so we absorbed that increase from last year into this budget. And then as a part of the budget, we also have the roof projects. And we, as you know, we've been working with that project over the last few years, and we're ready to go this year. And we have several buildings that we need to address on the SWID campus relative to the hailstorm that we had. And so that is something that will be addressed in this budget. LAMESA, we did build in some money to help with the replacement of doors, the exterior doors. That is something we've been working on our LAMESA campus to improve that building. We've made a lot of progress, and that is something that continues to be on the list, and so we built that in. For our San Angelo campus, we built in additional security fobs. We are continuing to advance what we're doing with our safety and security plan throughout the district, and that was something that we needed to do for our San Angelo campus. We did the same thing in San Angelo, absorbed the safety and security increase that we had from last year. We also have in this budget the construction trades building. We can taste it. We're getting there. We're about to get the construction trades building completed, and I'll address that in a minute, how we're doing that, but that is that's one of our strategic goals. And we also incorporated into this budget a revenue bond debt retirement plan, and I would remind everyone, and Ben for being new, years ago, when we went into the construction project for our San Angelo campus, the academic and student services building, we actually had been saving and putting money back that would help us with our facilities. At the same time, we were enjoying a very, very healthy student enrollment at that point in time, which allowed us to not really have to go and use that money as we had intended, because we had intended to put some of that money toward our buildings. Due to the fact that we have a healthy fund balance for our San Angelo campus, we can work with that original plan to have a revenue bond debt retirement plan, and so we built that in. And I'll talk more about that as we get into some specifics. For the Big Spring campus, as far as operations and safety and security, also we'll have roof projects that will be a part of what we do this year. We did build in the Coliseum chiller. That was something that we had intended to do this year. And with all the other projects that were going on, we didn't get that one done. But we built it in, and we already have, we know what the approximate cost would be, and so we built that in. We think we may be finished with the Cactus Room project by the end of August. In the event that we do not, then we'll have to finish that up in September, which would be in the new fiscal year. But we anticipate, we have high hopes that we're going to finish that by the end of August. So how are we going to do all this? How are we going to, basically we put a budget together that was pretty much business as usual, except for the things that we pointed out that we wanted to do to meet our strategic goals. So, as you know, we have funding streams, revenue streams, that put together the budget that we then can expend. And those streams vary by the campus. As we all know, the Howard College campus budget is made up of the San Angelo, La Mesa, and Big Spring campuses and the revenue. Our SWIT budget, that appropriation that I mentioned already that comes from the state, is what funds our SWIT campus. As you know, it is an exceptional item that is given to Howard College. It has to be handled a certain way. So, as we look at our budgets, and we have a very complex approach, because as we say often, we want to be able to look people in whatever community that we're serving, we want to be able to look them in the eye and say, your money is staying in your community, what we're generating with tuition and fees, what we're generating with contact hours, and in the situation relative to Howard County, Big Spring campus, what is happening in the way of taxes is staying in Howard County. So that is why, as you know, when you looked at the budgets on an annual basis, and then look at the final budget that you get for the year, we will consolidate the Big Spring and the La Mesa and the San Angelo budgets together into the Howard College budget when you see it at the August meeting. But the SWID budget will be separate because of the fact that it's a special appropriation, the exceptional appropriation. So, as a part of those funding streams for each campus, every campus gets tuition and fees, but it varies. The Big Spring Howard County budget is going to anything in Howard County, those students pay in district. Students that are outside of Howard County, because the in-district is only the area that is taxed. So anything out of in-district then, out of Howard County, is going to be considered out-of-district. So that tuition is different, as you know. And then non-resident tuition is for those students that come to us from out-of-state. And so each of our campuses have tuition revenue. And it's going to vary depending on how much in-district they have, out-of-district, out-of-state. And so we went through and put the budget together accordingly. And let me just quickly remind you that we talked about in the spring that we were not recommending that we increase tuition this year. Because we have not increased tuition since 2016-17 is when we last increased tuition. We felt with what was going on at the time we would generally recommend to you an increase in tuition, that it was obviously not the time, because we had students and families that were struggling, and so we felt that it was best to consider that at a later time. And we said that we would come back to you in the fall, which we will do. We will look at the scenario and our status at this point in time as far as the economy, and start looking at what we might need to consider relative to recommending a tuition increase. But for those reasons, we did not increase the tuition. Now, you'll remember the students wanted to increase the student services fee. We did increase that. And that was based on, there's a committee of students that meet across the district, and they made that recommendation, and we did make that change. As you move through your PowerPoint, you'll see, and this is, I'm going to go through this very quickly, but the next three slides, actually four slides, that represents all the waivers. So we find also that at the state level, decisions are made relative to different tuitions that will be waived. And so then we end up waiving that tuition, and we don't get that income. And so when you look at the bottom line then, and you look on the last page, you will see as a district then we had anticipated that we would lose about $1.2 million basically in tuition revenue, and that's about what we lost, or gained, however you want to look at that. But that is a significant factor. Financial aid, our students, as we talked about in the last meeting, you know that our students, they have challenge. And so our financial aid people are very busy. And so those students that have need and meet the requirements of certain grants, federal and state, they are receiving some kind of aid. Sometimes it's a scholarship, a local scholarship. And I want to just point out that almost $11.7 million was given out in aid last year. We anticipate around the same amount, could be more, because again, we know that we have students that have challenge. We also last year, as far as revenue, and it'll change up a little bit this year relative to the revenue that we will get, but just letting you see, we do get, our students did benefit from the CARES Act, the institutional monies. We also received some institutional monies that we've not expended yet. We're still getting the details and all of that. That will be some money we can use this year. There were some other, like the Title V grant that I've already talked about. That actually is gone this year. But just letting you know that that was a revenue stream for us, and of course we institutionalized it. AEL, that is revenue that we receive that helps our students that are working on their high school diplomas, the old, what we call GED, which is called different things now. And then some of our students in the nursing shortage grants, we get revenue, and we get, those are grants that we get based on the numbers of students that we have graduating that increase what was a projected number. And so we have some revenue that comes from that. So that kind of gives you a quick overview of grants that come our direction that help us with our revenue stream. Foundation. We have our three foundations, and our three foundations operate differently as far as what their interests are. Our San Angelo and our SWID foundations tend to do mainly scholarships. Our San Angelo Foundation has helped us with startup of programs, and so we tend to see that kind of interest from those foundations. Our Big Spring Foundation, scholarships, has helped us with our lecture series. There are some funds in that foundation that are earmarked for some building projects at some point. And so that kind of gives you an idea of the kinds of resources we have that are not built into the budget, but these are resources that we will have available as we move into the next year. Fund balance. Fund balance is important because this is your reserve. And as you know, you like to, as a board, you're interested in keeping around about 30% of the unrestricted budget, or 30% set aside of the unrestricted budget. And we find ourselves in good position. If there wasn't something called GASB 68 and 75 that has not only messed with our reserves but every other entity in America, you would see above the line then what we have in fund balance. And so we have a healthy fund balance. It's one of the reasons we get a good grade from the coordinating board on an annual basis when they look at our financials, because we do have, that's one of the strengths that we have. And as a whole then, we do, as far as above the 30%, because we try not to touch 30% and keep that in fund balance. But then anything above 30%, that's when we occasionally will raise our hands and say, you want to consider something out of fund balance. Here's an idea. And so I've already mentioned that we're recommending that in this budget for our San Angelo campus, because you can see that we have excess over the 30%. We're about $2.3 million. And then the SWID fund balance and the Big Spring fund balance, you need to know that is where those insurance monies are. And so what we have above the 30%, the Big Spring is 1.872. So that's basically, that's that money, the insurance money, that we will be able to use this year. Then when you look at the SWID money, we're 1.4 over the 30%. And that's a built into the budget about $324,000, because that was the initial claim that we have. So we have a little over what we need for the SWID budget. So as I move into some of this other conversation, that'll make more sense. I added, just for quick review, to remind you, we're going into this is legislative year. This is the second year of the biennium. What you see on the next page, which is the final formula funding, this is what we're getting this year based on what they did in the last session. And the good news is, when you turn to the next page, and this is what we were allocated as a result of what they did for the community colleges, we're happy to report that the community colleges, as you know, didn't have any budget reductions. Some of the others did. And so, as in the universities and some of the state agencies. Had we had that happen, then I would have been sharing, we would have been showing you a slide with a reduction. But we didn't have that. So that's great news for us. When you move to the next page, this is just keeping you up to speed on where we are. Our success points, we're continuing to see improvements. That'll be important as we go into the session. We'll talk about all of that more as we begin to look at the LAR and we begin to see what's happening, what they're beginning to say out of Austin. I'm going to skip over that because, again, this is just kind of a reminder. The contact hours, then, we're generating right now, that started back in the base year on March 1, we're concerned because what has happened in several instances with our enrollment down, and then, for example, our prison, our SCI operation, we've not been able to deliver in the SCI for two quarters of the year. And so that's half of what we generate in contact hours. So that's a concern. And that, if you just look at this very quickly, excuse me, you can see that on the next page for workforce training, you can see that FCI generates lots of contact hours. So that's a concern. for our that particular program. And then overall as a district, what we always try to do, what I'm showing you right now, we try to get better. Because during the base year, we're trying to generate more contact hours so that when we go into the legislative session and we have what we've generated in our base year, we're going to be able to get a bigger piece of the pie, or at least maintain our pie. We're not the only ones that are concerned across the state, but as we go into the session, that is concerning. The next page, again, there's no change on this. This is our funding methodology because, as I've already mentioned in opening comments, we take what we generate in contact hours, and then we allocate that across the district based on what each campus is generating. So that gives you an overview. Again, there's not a change on that. We do that for the biennium. Your next slide, then, just giving you kind of these are things that we're thinking about as we put the budget together. What does that mean, then? Because we're seeing we lowered our revenue as far as what we expected in tuition and fees because of what was happening. We were okay. Thank goodness they didn't give a 5% reduction. But how is that going to impact us next year? And we've got to be planning ahead, not knowing for sure what's going to happen in that legislative session and what's also going to happen relative to enrollment. I've already mentioned the 300 by 300 initiative, and the Texas House Higher Education Committee has already started interim work, and what they're doing, it's different. We're not going to be having hearings in Austin. We're sending in information. And so we're beginning to, there are different things they're interested in, and so we're beginning to send in, the Texas Association of Community Colleges is sending in information, in some instances data, but overviews of what we recommend as we move into the session. As I mentioned in the August 3rd meeting, we still had not received any kind of information on the legislative appropriation request. And in the memo, we still hadn't, but we did yesterday afternoon. And so they released information and late, but we do have the LAR, we have the instructions. Brenda was reading through them last night, and we believe, and actually it was released when we were having the Texas Association of Community Colleges conference call yesterday, so we could barely even talk because we were all trying to look at what they had released. But it does appear, this is not for sure, but it does appear that they are going to, we're going to start off with a 5% reduction. And so they didn't cut us in this year, this the second year of the biennium. But it appears that we're going to start off with we're going to be working with a 5% less number. And so what that is, and in fact, when we started our work, our budget work in the springtime, we actually were still not sure if we were going to get cut. And so we being Brenda, had generated those amounts so that we would know how much are we talking about. So for the Big Spring budget, that's $206,678 per year. For the La Mesa campus, $4,596 per year. Our San Angelo campus, $130,950 per year. And our SWID campus, $166,320 by year. So those are the kinds of numbers that are looming out there. Now, well, the community colleges do everything we can to try to advocate to get that money back and to be what we at least get the 5% or get the 5% back, and then on top of that, to be held harmless. That's what we're going to be advocating for, because we're going to be submitting with less contact hour generation than we've had from the previous biennium. We're hoping that they're going to hold us harmless, and at the same time, we're going to be trying to see if they will keep us at the same funding. But the instructions say you basically ask for an exceptional item to try to get the 5% back. Right, Brenda? That's what we're reading. And so I know the community colleges will do that, but then we'll see how the session plays out. Now, remember what I've already said about SWID. SWID is an exceptional item, so we're not sure. And they have not given us the numbers yet, but they the LBB is going to, according to the instructions, we'll be seeing. They'll give us figures. And so we're hopeful that what they're doing with the SWID appropriation is the 5%, and they haven't done something different with the exceptionals. We'll find out more about that in the days ahead. And so, again, the different budgets, everybody has tuition and fees. Everybody has a fund balance. Everybody has contact hour generation or an appropriation amount that comes from the state. But then the next revenue stream, and a foundation that can help do some offsetting of needs. But then when we get to the next revenue stream, taxing, the only budget that has taxes is the Big Spring District budget. So that's why, again, it's a challenge for our other campuses when we start seeing things happen at the state level. And then that starts having, we have to think in what, how are we going to make offset that. And so that's when we start talking about tuition increases and all that. And then for the Big Spring Howard County budget, we have the taxing. And as you know, this is the time of year that we began to talk about all that. And you have in this slide that you're looking at now, this is the taxing history going back to 2000. And I'm going to go through these real quick. The next page shows you how your levy has increased as you have changed tax rates. The next is how, as far as debt service and current operations, what those tax rates have looked like over the last few years. The next is what the value, the net assessed value that generate the levy, and the tax rate then that is imposed on that tax base, and then the exemptions that are part of that. The next slide is property tax that's collected. And some of this information is actually part of the audit that we will see that will come, that we review in December or January. But this is an update of that. And this last page has to do with property tax and as far as delinquent collections and how that has changed over the last few years. As you remember, when Drew presented the last report, they had a successful year on tax collection of some back years, and we'll be having a report from him actually probably probably not August, but September. And so that's coming soon. So looking then at the taxes and the situation that we have, before I go into that, I want to also talk about just kind of how did we end up putting everything together then? What was the summary of the overall budget then? As I mentioned, it's basically business as usual, and we were able to balance all of our budgets. So all of the operating budgets, we balanced them on the revenue that we anticipated. And as I mentioned, we did some reduction. At the same time, as I mentioned, we had some expenditures that increased. And those related to initiatives that we had. But for the most part, it was business as usual. As I mentioned, our Cenislo and SWID budget were the greatest challenges. for the reasons I've already mentioned. But again, we downsized our unrestricted revenue because concerned about the impact of COVID on the academic year and what it's going to do overall. So the overall decreases in our total unrestricted budget ended up being, the Big Spring budget ended up being $139,000 less than last year. The La Mesa budget was down $38,650. The financial budget was down $54,709. And our SWED budget was down $508,535. Now, let me explain how we worked through all of that. Okay. I already mentioned what we did with the SWED budget and how we did that offsetting on the employee positions. And so that helped us recover some of the need that we had in the SWED budget, and it was the right thing to do because the district operations was not going to have the overhead that it had had in the past. And I went through all that, so I'm not going to say all that again. Okay. I've already mentioned the fact that we institutionalized the Title V grant positions, and that cost the Big Spring budget $80,000, and it cost the San Angelo budget $30,000. Again, we managed through that, and were able to put together a balanced budget. We are proposing, however, deficit budgets for these reasons. The Big Spring campus is a proposed deficit of 1.75, and that's the insurance money that is going to go toward the roof project. Our San Angelo campus, the planned expenditure for bond, as well as $43,000 for our construction trades building. And then SWID, $324,000 coming out of fund balance. That's why we have the planned deficit and that's insurance money to cover some of that roofing project that we will be going into. So the San Angelo, the SWID, the La Mesa budgets, then that's basically the way we handle all that. The Big Spring budget, though, we talk about taxes, we need to talk about that. What do we do there? All right. The adjusted value of taxes this year, of the tax base, went up just a little bit. Last year it was $5,561,000,000. This year it's $5,690,000,000. So we saw a little bit of increase in our adjusted tax value. As a result, the M&O rate, which is now called something different, it's called no new revenue rate. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. We still have an M&O rate, maintenance and operation rate, but the effective rate is now a different number, a different name. It's the no new revenue rate. And so the no new revenue M&O tax rate is, as a result of that tax base changing, it's 0.1850. However, we have an interesting scenario that has happened, and that is what we call interest in sinking, or our debt. Now they're calling it debt rate. Last year, to bring in the amount of money necessary to pay the bond payment, it took 0.0239920. But this year, we've had something interesting happen in that there were some large properties that the value came, was settled after certification. Therefore, we lost some value or some levy that came in from those properties, as well as there are some, there was more delinquency. And so in order to generate the money necessary for the debt rate, our debt rate goes up. So our debt rate last year was 0.0239920, but this year, to generate what it needs to be, it's 0.0279390. So added together then, this budget, as far as the Big Spring budget, was planned with the, what is called, what we used to call the effective rate, the no new revenue rate. What we're presenting to you right now is built on that. No new M&O, no new revenue for maintenance and operation. However, that INS rate is higher for the reasons I've already mentioned. Okay. In the past, when you had your effective rate, we used to say if you raise a penny more, you have to have two tax hearings. Well, now they've changed up that approach. In the last session, what they changed up terms, and they changed up approach as far as how you go through what you do in the tax process. So now, if you raise more money, your new revenue, no new revenue, includes that INS. We have had an increase there. We, regardless of that M&O rate, even though we kept it the same to bring in the same amount of M&O, we will have to have a tax hearing because we're bringing in more revenue than we did last year of what we've got to have to pull in the money for the debt rate, okay? The difference is, in the past, you had to have two hearings. Now they've changed it. You only have to have one. The other thing that they've changed is there are three different forms that you choose based on what happens. If you are not going over that rate, the no new revenue rate, then you have, there's a form that is in the paper. If you do have a tax increase, you have another form. And then there's a third form that if you are going over the voter approval rate, the voter approval rate is the one that used to be called the rollback rate. And so if you, as you know, in the past, if you went over the rollback rate, which for the community colleges as a result of the legislative session, it stayed at 8% for the community colleges. It was lowered for, and I think the hospital districts, it stayed at 8%. But others, it went to 3.5%, and the school districts, I believe it went to 2.5%. So another difference is now, in the past, if you went over the 8%, then a petition had to be circulated. There had to be enough signatures in order for there to be an election or to consider that if the voters approve that. Now, if you go above that rate, it's automatic. An automatic election. And so all of this is outlined in all those new forms. So what we then put together as far as the budget then was a operating budget for Big Spring based on an M&O, no new revenue, an INS rate that covers what's necessary to pay the debt for the GO, obligation bond. As I said, because of the changes, there will be a hearing on to address that. You will find then this page that has all the last year's adjusted value and what our M&O was and INS and our total rate. And then it goes into what the levy and what our value was. Adjusted tax value. Then it moves into this year's, the no new revenue M&O rate, the voter approval rate, and the INS rate, and then what the total no new revenue tax rate is, 0.2079790. And then the total voter approval tax rate is 0.2277768. So what we are recommending then with this, the budget as it's prepared, we are then, the M&O rate is the 1850350. The INS rate then is going to be the one that's listed. And so together, the total, when you move over into the section where it's estimated 2020 total tax levy, then the rate that is being recommended then is 21,29,740, which that ends up being over the total no new revenue tax rate of 0.2079790 because of what has happened with INS. Okay, that is all pretty confusing, I know. Let me keep taking you through. So what does that mean to the taxpayer? Okay, so if you look at the end of your at the end of your PowerPoint, you see the first one just on M&O tax rate calculations on the average home. All right, something else that has happened this year is that the average home value has gone up. Last year it was $81,284. This year it's $90,252. That is an $8,968 difference in value of the average home. That's an 11% increase just in the average home. So with M&O, even with us keeping M&O the same, to bring in the same amount of money as we did last year, the average home is going to pay $15.29 more. Now, if you look at the 100,000, we always look at the 100,000 as a comparative. On M&O, that's actually down just a little bit, $1.61 for the 100,000 when you're looking at a comparative. When you add in then, go to the next page, and you start looking at total then. And this is going to, again, be both the M&O and the INS. And if you look at the average home, that will take it to $21 because you've got to build in, you know, what the cost is of the debt rate. And then for on a $100,000 property, it's $2.34. Okay. So, not as a part of your PowerPoint, but as a part of your packet, I did share what the notices, how the notice will look in the paper. So all of this is an effort to try to be is to help our taxpayers understand what's happening. So everybody's making a real effort to try to be as transparent of information as possible. And so, again, people will understand what's happening with taxes. And so the proposed tax rate then would be 0.212974. And again, that is based on bringing the same amount of money M&O, but the INS difference, the proposed tax rate then would be 21.2974. The no new revenue tax rate, again, as I mentioned, is the 0.207979. The voter approval tax rate is 0.227776. That will be outlined for the voters, not the voters, the taxpayers in the community, in the county, well, you know, everywhere in the state of Texas. This is what people will see in the newspapers and on websites. It then, because we have the scenario that we have, that this would be a tax increase, then this is the way the notice will look in the paper or on the website. It'll say notice of public hearing on tax increase because it will be an increase over what was brought in last year in the way of levy. Down at the bottom, and it, just as it has in the past, what we put in the paper, how people vote, for, against, present, absent, that is still all included. And then it has an area where it talks about the total tax rate. And so the 2019 total tax rate was 0.210637. For 2020, it would be 0.212974, which is an increase of 0.002337 or 1.11%. I already mentioned what's happened with average homestead taxable value. That is shown for people to see, and it'll show the $81,284, $90,252 for 2020, an increase of 11%. The tax on the average homestead last year was 171. For this year, it would be 192. And you also have the change column, and so that will be where it will show that will be an increase of $21 or 12.26%. The total tax levy on all properties, 2019, was right at $11.9 million, and it's right at $12.1 million for 2020. Show that's an increase of $290,778 or 2.45%. And what is that $290,778 going to? The debt.
Pam.
Okay. So that's what that all means. It's different than what we've had in the past. But again, it's an effort that was made at the state level to try to help people understand how their taxes are changing and all of that, an effort to be as transparent as possible. They actually even have, in the past, we would, as far as effective, we would have to say to people the effective rate is. They actually list, they define it. They say the no new revenue tax rate is the tax rate for the 2020 tax year that will raise the same amount of property tax revenue for Howard County Junior College District from the same properties in both the 2019 tax year and the 2020 tax year. So again, an effort to explain that. The voter approval rate, they also define that, is the highest tax rate that Howard County Junior College District may adopt without holding an election to seek voter approval of the rate. And then they say the proposed tax rate is greater than the no new revenue tax rate. This means that Howard County Junior College District is proposing to increase property taxes for the 2020 tax year. Then, because of that, it will say a public hearing on the proposed tax rate will be held on. And then the next one says proposed tax rate is not greater than the voter approval tax rate. As a result, Howard County Junior College District is not required to hold an election at which voters may accept or reject the proposed tax rate, however you may express your support, da-da-da. And so, again, that's one notice But there are three different notices now. But again, it's all in an effort to try to be as transparent as possible.
But you mentioned that we're staying with effective rate, and as a taxpayer, well, I read the paper, okay, my taxes are still going to be increased. How do you explain that to the taxpayer, being that we're staying at effective rate, same amount as beginning and same time, your taxes are going to increase based on the iron, on the, you mentioned the iron. How do you explain it to the taxpayer when you happen to have one that comes in and talks to them about it?
The way we explain that is that when the voters determined that they wanted to have the GO bond years ago, basically they were saying then, we're voting for this and we want to do this. And then what happens on an annual basis, based on what our the tax assessor collector figures out, what the INS rate needs to be to pay the debt, that annual debt. And so that then has changed this year because of what happened with the scenario that I mentioned already. After values were certified last year, we had some large properties that ended up being assessed lower. The value then came in, or the levy came in less. Plus, you had the scenario where you had there were some delinquencies and people didn't pay. So what we have to do, Brenda has to, she has to turn in a form that shows what we lost, and then they do a calculation. There's a software, and they go through and they calculate what the rate is. And so this year, in order to pay what is necessary, it's a high. That's what it is. It's just, I mean, to pay the note, it's more.
Okay. But our M&O is lower, right?
Our M&O is actually, as far as the tax,
the rate
is actually lower. But, and it's bringing in That's where the increase is. We're bringing in the same amount of money.
But it's going to INS.
Yes.
If your total rate, 19, was the same as the total rate, 20, it's a little bit, it would generate more money on the net.
Because the tax base went up some,
mm-hmm.
not much.
But people's tax rate would be the exact same. If you set it at the exact same.
Well.
Their appraisal has gone up.
Right.
So they're going to pay some more money.
But the tax rate wouldn't be exactly the same because the tax base changed.
It's gone up a little bit.
Correct.
So you had the tax, you had the exact same tax rate, you would generate more money.
As last year,
mm-hmm.
yes. That would be a true statement. Yes. 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 Yep. Because we, looking at that, let's see, we were at 18.66.
Yep.
And so, yeah, it would generate.
I'm sure it's on here.
Yeah, it would be about 100,000, right at 100,000 more. Right, Brenda? Right, about 100,000 more.
About 100,000.
Okay. What questions do you have? It's about time for your lunch, but and when we get back into the next part, the special session part, or the meeting part, then you will be talking about the preliminary budget, you'll be talking about the tax rate and all of that, and you'll make your final decisions. But as far as questions that you have, because I know this is confusing, so please ask, and I will do the best I can to try to explain it.
It's pretty clear.
Is $100,000 a big deal to the budget?
You mean to, in, if we
you
were to
get the tax rate the exact
same
total rate? Is that it?
Okay. If you chose to do that, which is basically 1%-ish, that would generate about an additional $100,000. And, you know, I mean, obviously what I would say is, you know, look at your, you know, an obvious consideration would be the list that we have relative to projects. Find that. It's right here.
It basically more or less funds two positions. That's what $100,000.
Yes. It would.
So, it, I mean, you could take it from anywhere you want, but it would cover two positions.
That's correct.
But as I talked to you yesterday, I would like the board to consider taking this in a different direction. We've just heard this morning, which I didn't know yesterday, that the legislature is talking about a 5% reduction. Which means that next year the budget could really pinch. As we know, we have a number of unfunded projects around campus that haven't been done, that need to get done. In addition, we don't know what COVID is going to eventually do to the budget, even this semester. I don't know if you heard in the news, but University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and Colorado College just had to send all their students home.
Notre Dame?
I didn't hear Notre Dame yet. But, so, I mean, this is all up in the air. Plus, obviously, nobody here wants to go through another tax referendum. So, if you follow this, or maybe I'm not going to explain this very well, but it would seem to me to behoove us to move that baseline for not having to have a referendum up slightly, so that next year, if we get smacked by the legislature and everything else, we would be able to have a smaller increase, and possibly that could be the difference between having that referendum and not. So considering that 1% is $100,000, and it's also about $1.50 on a house, $1.50 per year. I would think that we would do well to raise that revenue by 2 or 3%, take that money, have the contingency. If we can do the projects, great. If something smacks us in the butt, then we can't do the projects. We've got a couple dollars, because once we set this tax rate, we can't go back and change it. You know, in December, when all of a sudden we got to send students home or whatever. And also, that would up the baseline for another year without having to go to referendum. We already have to do the tax notice that we're going up on the taxes. And very honestly, the citizens can't stop that. Now, I'm going to tell you, because most of you don't know me particularly well, I ran a town in Maine for a number of years. I was the mayor equivalent, and I was the budget person. And we lowered taxes every year. I have a history of trying to lower taxes. But in this particular situation, with COVID, with the legislature, with everything, I think we would be smart to raise that level a little bit, take the money, limit the damage. And if we end up on the plus side of the world, then we can do something like it said in the list of projects, $90,000 to fix the brickwork and mortar on some of the buildings. And that's a good thing to do, because if you don't do preventative maintenance, we all have houses. If you don't do preventative maintenance, it costs more later. So that's something you can go to the taxpayers and say, we're planning to do this brick and mortar work, because if we don't do it, it's going to cost you $300,000 rather than $90,000, and that's still going to come out of your taxes. But if we get smacked, we've got that little bit of a cushion in there. And again, you're talking about $3, $4 on a tax bill? I mean, really? You know, people are not... People who are going to be unhappy are going to be unhappy because of the $20 due to the debt service. Okay? All my taxes went up due to the debt service, and their houses are worth more, which is, of course, going to bury a lot of it. People are going to see their valuations going up, and they're going to know that their taxes are going to go up. I think it's worth doing just a little bit. I'm not talking about going anywhere near that 8%, but just taking a little bit off that for the future, because that would raise our baseline next year by that, say, $200,000, and that goes forward, because then you're dealing with that slightly bigger number every year thereafter. And that's what I would propose to do with this. I've given it a lot of thought. I used to do the municipal budget for the town. And I've done all these kind of calculations and stuff. We had a form. We had all this. And I was told when I started, you always go to the top of the form. You always go to the top rate, the highest rate the form will allow. We used to go to the lowest rate the form would allow, and we were still raising too much revenue. But this time is different. This case, I think, is just a little different. And I don't think it's going to do us real well to kind of throttle the college, you know, and then all of a sudden in December or January, we've got a problem that we could have prevented some or mitigated now. And again, the taxpayers, honestly, I hate to say this, because I'm a taxpayer here too, and I don't like my taxes going up. I don't like the taxes that I pay as it is. But the taxpayers, honestly, can't stop us from raising that 2 or 3%, that couple of $100,000, because it doesn't push us into referendum land. So we have to look out in all those trainings I listened to, all those videos, you know, we have to look out for the college. We have to protect the best interest of the college and everything. And I think that that would be the fiscally responsible thing to do for the college.
Well, the past always stayed within a rate that before we go to the taxpayers, you know, for referendum. And, you know, being situated the way it is now, you mentioned earlier, the COVID-19, we have a different legislature coming in November, all this can affect the money that we collect from taxpayers. But at the same time, and not trying to just disagree with you, we do have people that are struggling out there. And you may say, well, hey, a dollar is nothing to me. But to somebody else, like especially right now that some people are going to food banks, that type of thing, a dollar may be some people anything, but some people it may. And maybe I'm too conservative, but I always think that some people struggle, some people don't.
I think in general in life, and I've done taxing before,
I'm sure you have.
There's always people who are struggling.
Sure.
Okay, that's it. When you're talking about you own a home, $5 over the course of a year,
well,
I have a hard time saying that five, I mean, honestly, go out and go to McDonald's and see how many people are, you know, in line and going to spend more than $5 on a Happy Meal. I mean, you're talking about the cost of maybe a Happy Meal over the course of a year. We've just given people $30, $40, $50 a month in raises, okay? I'm equally conservative. I like to lower taxes. I would love to come in lower. But what happens if enrollments are down? What happens if enrollments go down further, particularly in the spring semester, if this winds up more? We can't go back and adjust that tax rate later. And remember, the rate went down. We used to pay a lot more in taxes for the college district than we are now. So this is only a slight increase. But that money may be what makes the difference here between being able to cover another bunch of declines at SWID or not. you know, how much, I mean, SWIT is down considerably, right, right now?
Right. Now, the tax money would only be for
big But still.
Oh, yeah.
But you have a fudge factor in there because you're dealing with the administrative costs to cover SWIT.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, I mean, so SWIT isn't in the budget, in the city budget, but it is in the city budget in a sense. But even here, I mean, what if all of a sudden next semester, I mean, things are bad and enrollment is down by 500 students?
Right.
Well, at least you've got a couple of dollars to try to hold things even, including salaries. Again, you're talking about people who are struggling, including the people on the payroll here. We have to make payroll. And it will be worse if you've got to start laying people off. So it's a balance. But I think you're talking about truly the cost.
I know that last year we did, we're doing our budget, we knew that this year we're going to operate in a deficit based on the projects that we're going to take care of last year. You know, since we're going to be in a deficit this year. But like I said, my concern is that, you know, people are hurting. I know you understand that we do need the extra revenue. My point of view is we have foundations out there that we mentioned here in our board, and the fact that I think we'll be okay if we stay within where we're at now, even though all this that's happening, COVID-19 legislature, we don't know what's going to happen between now and next year, and we always plan ahead. But at the same time, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure.
Something to think about.
Something to think about, literally,
it's the cost of a burger over the course of a year. I mean, if you were talking about hundreds of dollars, I would be personally agreeing with you. But I really think that the average homeowner in Big Spring can find $5 over the course of the year to do this. And if we don't, and then next year we get in a real bad position with the legislature and everything. I mean, we, you know, they're telling us they're going to cut the budget 5%.
Right.
Okay. So then you're going to have to make that up by raising taxes. Well, then you're getting close to that 8%. Right from just from there. So if you don't want to go to referendum, and I remember that referendum was unpleasant and unfortunate, then you really need to take care to feather your nest a little now so that you don't get into that situation later. Now, the legislature may give the money back. I mean, who knows what the legislature is going to do. But since they've already put us on notice of a 5% reduction, and that 5% reduction is worth how much? $200,000, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, so 2% on here is that money you get. So I'm just saying it might be better to feather the nest. I mean, I remember I saw in here at one point the tax rate was over 0.3 for several years.
Right.
I squawk like everybody else because I have a house, but I think just a little increase could protect us a lot more for the cost of a burger.
I think you make a good point.
You're saying 2%?
We can debate the amount. I was trying to in my mind between 2 and 3.
Something. When you were had your job before, what did y'all base your rate of inflation and stuff? I mean, it goes up every year.
Yeah, things went up every year. We were given, very honestly, I can't remember the exact details. But we were given a form by the state, and we had to go through all these calculations. And at the bottom, it gave us a mill rate, a tax rate, to raise the correct amount of revenue. You know, we had to give money to the school district. We had to give money to, you know, all these things. And in order to get there, we had to come up with it wasn't a number. It was a range. Okay? And because it went out to about 15 decimal places, so they, you know, one thing they wanted you to do was shorten that. So they gave you a range that you could go, like here, somewhere between 0.21 and 0.23. And I was told when I first started doing this, always take all the money you can, go to the 0.23. We were literally taking the 0.21, the lowest rate, and we were still raising too much money. We were putting money away. But the form would not allow us to lower taxes more than that, which was kind of, you know, kind of an odd situation, so we had to do that. And so we built up a reserve, which thank God we did, because we also needed it later. But I just think that that's the thing. I mean, we've done all these calculations, and you see that the rates are lower than the historical average for this college, even with 2 or 3%. I mean, you know, and when I realized that 1% is about $100,000, and on an average taxpayer, it's about, what, $2. I mean, it's like $2 for the year. We're giving raises of $40, $50, $60 a month. You kind of put it in perspective. People are always hurting. Don't think I don't agree with you. People always complain about their taxes. It doesn't matter if it's for this, for municipal, for whatever. They always want them to be lower. I want them to be lower. My taxes in the last 14 and a half years in Big Spring have more than doubled. And I'm not happy. My total tax bill. But considering that we don't have to have a hearing here, this is the time to do just a little. I think.
Mark and Patricia?
Well, I would say that I agree with you, and I think that economic times are hard, are going to be, you know, there, but the state has forced us into the deal where we can't, you know, if we do get in a bind and we want to raise some money next year, then we will have to do, you know, if you want to go above the 8, and it's very likely they'll move the 8 down to 3.5 with everybody else. And so we're losing the flexibility that we have to take care of ourselves at any one point in time. And so I agree, we've got to do a little something along the way all the time in order to make sure that we are going to be in the right position in the years to come. And so I agree with that. I hate to, in this particular moment in time, to raise taxes, but because we're going to have a hearing anyway, I'm all for putting a little bit more on there to make sure that we, because we don't, I mean, Ben was talking about in his past where they were, you know, they built reserves. We don't have that ability anymore. The legislature's taken that away from us. And so we have to do it all within the increments that we can do it. And I think that because next year's going to be a completely different deal with valuation. So I think we need to take care of this year.
I think probably, this is John, I think possibly what Ben's talking about, and I agree with Ben on this, that if they're going to reduce it by 5% next year, then we need to get half of that this year.
Because it also moves the baseline.
Yeah.
Because next year, that 8% number, say, that would trigger a referendum, would be on a slightly higher, because we've already built in that couple $100,000.
Exactly.
So you're moving the baseline before you trigger the state,
exactly.
The referendums in the state doing something.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I mean.
We don't want to go to the road.
We don't want to go to the voters again.
No.
Because it's never a good time. I'll tell you, good times, bad times, there's never a good time to ask for tax increase.
Yeah.
And
never.
You never know what the oil valuations are going to do, too.
There's never a good time. But a touch.
Touch here, touch there.
That's what you do.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else, Dr. Parks?
Patricia, did you have any questions or comments that you might want to, I mean, obviously we can still talk about it when we get into that part of the meeting, but
well,
have questions?
Well, I've just been listening to the comments, and I'm concerned, too, about economic times for everybody out there. And there's a lot of landowners that that's going to affect them more than the price of a hamburger. So it's I understand what Ben's saying, and I agree with that. I'm just, you know, there's some concern still about the economic situation of a lot of folks out there.
It's never easy.
Never.
It's never. Anytime you raise taxes to it, we're raising taxes $20 to pay for debt service. I mean, people don't even see that. I mean, it's debt service. How much bonded debt do we still have?
Oh, how much do we have left, Brenda? I don't know off the top of my head. It was originally like $21 million, and we're... I can get you that in a minute. We're about, I'm going to say around maybe 11 or 12.
Isn't it kind of odd that it went up to me? I mean, interest rates are just nothing.
Well, what it is because, and Brenda, help me, if you can explain it better than I, certainly I'm sure you can, but it's because of what happened to bring the amount of money, because we lost last year, $120,000 less that we had intended to bring in. So that's factored in. And then
the collection they require you now to actually show what your rate will be, and in the past they didn't.
So they
built in a little bit of
fudge on
it. I failed to include that. Yeah, because now we didn't have to do that in the past, and now this is a new calculation where you have to take your 3-year average, and that's 96%. So that also impacted it.
So theoretically, if things changed around again next year, that could actually go down.
Absolutely.
Could. If valuations go up and we go from 96% collection to 97% collection.
Yeah.
So it's a mathematical function, and there's nothing you can do with it.
Just get rid of it.
Well, just get, yeah, or pay off the debt. We need a big foundation to pay off the debt.
Yeah, big one. Is there anything you would add, Brenda, that I have left out?
Explained it very well. It's confusing. You know, like I said, average homeowner is still going to cost us 21. Plus the 5, I'll say, you know, which I'm not arguing. You know, I hear you. I think
so. If you're paying 21 or you're paying 22 or you're paying 23, I mean, it's a few dollars. I mean, we'd like to get rid of the 21.
Right.
But, you know, but we can't. You know, the problem is, do we end up next year, you know, needing 110 to cover what the state doesn't give us, and then we got to go to referendum?
If the values had not gone up that much, 11%, then the taxpayer would not have to be, the average taxpayer would not be paying that much more. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening.
That's right.
The home.
That's correct.
The home value. That's what's happening.
We've been having the oil.
But if the home values go up that much, 11%, now maybe this calculation hasn't come out yet, then the total taxable value in Howard County should go up considerably. You're going to raise all the home prices 11%.
But it's been shifted.
I mean, I realize it's coming off other things. I mean, they're oil properties and whatever.
Right.
But still, you'd like, hopefully, or it's a more stable tax base, if nothing else.
Right.
But, again, I look back at the historical. You gave us all the historical tax rates for the last 20 years. And this is still near the bottom of the barrel.
actually.
Because we were paying at one point over 30.
Right.
Okay, so to pay 22 or 23 rather than 30, 31, I mean, it's a lot less.
Actually, when we were doing the tax bond work, if I can remember, remembering my numbers right, I think we had projected that it could go as high as 32 cents. And then things just started changing with our tax base. And without a doubt, though, we know this year we could see some shifting with the tax base as far as what's going on with the oil rigs. You know, it didn't affect us this year, but it could next year.
Of course, we're also talking about not having tuition increases. You know, at some point, you've got to do something on the revenue side. I mean, the costs do keep, we've just given away. How much, all those step raises that we've just talked about, how much money does that represent?
The step raises increase overall, by campus.
The point is, we've just spent more money on those step rates.
Absolutely.
Okay, some thousands of dollars. And if you're not going to raise tuition and you're not going to raise taxes and the state's going to give us less, you know, somehow you've got to cover that. You can't keep giving raises if you don't bring in more revenue.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah. Or you're cutting your budget somewhere.
Yeah. You've got to do something.
Yeah.
And maybe if COVID hits us badly, we'll end up cutting positions because the kids won't be here and whatever. But we can't count on that. And that's unfortunately, that's a very bad scenario
right, for
the college.
Absolutely.
You know? So, because that cuts the contact hours, it all cascades from there.
Right. Right. There's no doubt. Okay. Any other questions, Patricia or Mark? I can't see your faces. Do you have any questions?
I'm good. I don't have any questions.
Patricia?
Well, I understand why, you know, we're looking at, you know, an unknown for next year. And when I was reading through this, I saw that we've not increased tuition since 2016. Maybe we should think about, you know, a little bit of increase there. Everything else has gone up. I don't know, just lots to think about during this time. It's just we're in uncharted waters, but just need to look at, I think, all of our revenues and see what's best for everybody.
Right. And with that comment, let me just remind you all again that for our San Angelo and La Mesa and SWID campuses, we don't have taxes. That tuition, the only way we can increase revenues in those budgets is with, unfortunately, it's with tuition increases, particularly if we are in a scenario where we see a decrease in our appropriation. And again, I want to congratulate our San Angelo campus again they got positions funded to help. And so those things we try to do too. We do try to get outside help, and that's something that they did. So it's a challenge. Yes, ma'am.
It's about 118,000
district-wide.
So that's 1% right there. I mean, that's, you know, it, you know, the problem is if things go badly all the way around, it's all just going to cascade. Because if you have fewer students because of COVID and everything, you have fewer revenue coming in, then you could possibly, so then you're looking at a situation of possibly having to raise tuition, which is going to drive more students out. I mean, you're looking at a cascading failure from the beginning, and that's to be avoided at all costs.
Absolutely.
So tuition would be tricky.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, you talk about people hurting, and we all, you know, these students, I mean, you know, particularly the full-time ones, I mean, that could be even more.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
those are all things we consider very carefully, and I can tell you that that is something that as a college, we do everything we can not to raise tuition on our students. And I think that, you know, that it shows in our pattern, what we've done through the years. But unfortunately, sometimes we have to consider something different. So we'll see. We'll analyze that in the months ahead, or the next few months, because we said that we would bring it back to you all to consider in the fall. So we'll begin to put all the pieces together and see what it's going to look like. The best crystal ball we can muster. All right. If y'all are going to eat, it's 12:20, and we said that we were going to start at 12:30, and as far as the meeting, so we can.
Ready.
It's ready.
Or we can bring it in.
Do y'all want to?
Yeah, Mr. Jarman, go eat.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's stretch your legs a little bit.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Mark and Patricia, we're going to hang up on you, and any of the others that are on the line, we're going to hang up. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to assume that we want at least 20 minutes.
Yes, at least 20.
Okay.
Hopefully 30.
Okay. It may be more like ten of one, but I'll come back in here and make sure that people
okay.
Have
okay.
Happening.
So about 10 to 1.
Yeah, we're going to say 10 of 1, but I'll get back on the line earlier than that in case we have some people calling in.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
Eric, are you there? Amy, I'm going to tell Stacy that you've been shooting far.
Yeah.
And she won't let you play with her. Not quite what you expected, huh?
Do what?
Not quite what you expected.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Sure. Or you mean as far as what you said?
Well, I'm fired.
Yeah.
What you expect of someone to get on the board.
Oh.
Might have no clue.
Yeah, exactly.
She won't
know.
Nope. Nobody's got to ask.
Yeah, you. Yep, you got that experience. This is mine. Okay, that was your water, right, John?
Yes, yep. Ma'am. I got
okay.
Two of them.
Okay.
Can you help me with one thing?
Uh-huh.
You're wired, Jeff.
I'm rewired now.
Get your cookies.
Yeah,
good. No, no, we don't want them to.
Get them all sweet up.
That's right. Yes, his son. I don't. Let me mute. What you do today is you discuss what you're going to consider as a rate for going forward, and then that's what we put in the paper so the taxpayers know what you're considering, but you adopt it at the next meeting.
Hearing
is in between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm figuring it out. It's going to take me a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Because the difference.
Yeah.
How are you enjoying being a grandma? How's it feel?
Great.
This
yeah.
Good, huh?
It feels great, yeah.
Well,
he's the cutest.
Give me the name just as initials,
DRS. Yeah, JRS. JRS, yeah. JRS the third. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep, he's growing fast, I'm telling you.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Man.
Is there quite often to your family?
About every 2 weeks. That's what we're trying to do.
Big baby.
He's a big baby. Yep. He is a big one.
He's a perfect
baby,
right?
Yeah, he is. Perfect, smart. Handsome. What else? Can we? What other adjective? Yes, Eric is about to activate.
Okay, I'm here. It's Patricia.
All right, Patricia.
Hi, and this is Jamie, and I'm back too.
Hi, Jamie. So he's not having to fight it. Thank you. Mark, are you back on?
Yes, I am. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
All right. Mr. Chairman, I believe you have
everyone.
Yes, sir. Okay. And for the record, Adrian had to leave for personal situation.
Okay. Adrian's gone. So we'll reconvene our meeting now, and Mr. Barr has agreed to give us our invocation for the season.
I'm sorry, just a minute. I activated this one. I needed to activate this one, right? I needed to activate this one. Yep. Okay. Sorry. I've got them on this one, but... Okay.
You got too many phones.
I got too many phones to work with.
Welcome to the teleconference. There are 10 participants on the call, including you. You are joining your conference as a participant. For a menu of available commands, press star pound. This conference is being recorded. Only the main conference is recorded.
Party democracy, strong parties. We are now strong.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
So we're reconvening our meeting for this afternoon in Maxwell Bar to give us our invocation for this afternoon.
Lord, thank you so much for bringing us here and allowing us to meet together to conduct the business of this college. We pray your blessings upon everyone here and upon this college. May you lead us and guide us. May we be a worthy advocate, and may we always be impressed by your will. We thank you for your son, Jesus, and in his name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We're so scattered out, I don't know if we've got any guests or not.
Well, we have Iris is here.
Iris, from the
Herald.
Iris.
And I told Amanda that she was giving you tough duty to start during tax season.
We'll
help you. We'll try to explain all the different things. It's very difficult sometimes.
All right. We'll start out our first item on the agenda. Any comments or anything from individuals who may be on the line? Assuming there are no comments or questions, the lines will be muted and we will close this proceeding next item on the agenda.
Okay.
Okay. We have finished business under new business. We have visiting your future directions. Preliminary 2021 budget, Howard College and SWID.
Okay. We've spent a good 2 hours almost, I guess.
Yeah, at least that.
Going through the budget. Do you want me to recap it?
Sure.
Are you good?
I think we're good.
Okay.
So, you going to the discussion of the tax rate?
Yes, sir. All right. So, as we discussed in the meeting, let me respond to Eric. Did it say it was still recording? Is it? It did, right? Okay. Well, now you're going to make me nervous. Let me... Okay, I'll call on this one and see what it says that tells me.
As a participant, for a menu of available commands, press star pound. This conference is being recorded. Only the main conference is recorded.
Thank you. Okay, it is being recorded.
All right.
All right.
So in the workshop, we talked about the different aspects of our budget. Again, not rehashing all of that again, but as we know, the Howard College budget, the Big Spring part of the budget, has as part of its revenue stream the tax in Howard County. And so we explained that the budget for the Big Spring campus, again, all these budgets are separate at this point. The Howard College budget will be brought together after the workshop. Begin to put that all together in the Howard College budget, and that will include the Big Spring, La Mesa, and San Angelo portions to make up the Howard College budget. And then we'll have the separate budget that will be for the Southwest College for the Deaf. The Howard College budget, then, the only portion of that budget that has tax associated with it is the Big Spring portion, and that's why we keep all of it separate as we go through the budgeting process. The Big Spring budget then was pulled together with a tax rate as far as bringing in the same amount of money as last year for M&O, for maintenance and operation. The debt rate, which is the rate that pays for the bond, the general obligation bond, it increased, as we talked about during the workshop, it increased due to the fact that there were some large properties that after certification last year, the values ended up being less, the levy generation then was less, as well as there were some delinquent taxes also that created less revenue in the tax that was levied. And then in the new way that we have to calculate as a result of the last session, we also have to do a three-year average on collection, and ours is at 96%. So in order to bring in the same amount of money, or not the same amount, the amount needed to pay the bond, that tax rate increased. So the budget was planned that way, with the same amount of money for maintenance and operation, and then the revenue needed for the general obligation bond. And so as we shared, that rate ended up, because the way they changed, the way they look at what they call the no new revenue rate, we're going to be bringing in levy this year because of what's happening with the debt rate and to pay for the debt. So you all discuss different aspects of that, and now that's when you make a decision as far as what you want to do with the tax rate. What after you make a decision, then we will get that information together. Brenda has already been working with our tax assessor collector. They then will generate the notice that we put in the newspaper. And then the process then, it depends on what you choose. In the event that you go with the way we prepared the budget, then you are raising revenue, but again, because of that INS over last year. And so you will be required to have a tax hearing. And so that form is one of the new forms as a result of the last session. And so that we will put in the newspaper, and that will create a tax hearing. In the past, you were required to have two tax hearings. With the change in the last legislative session, it's now one. And so what you need to do now is you need to determine what you want to do about the tax rate. What is currently proposed then for M&O for M&O, it would be, sorry.
0.185050.
The M&O no new revenue rate is 0.185050. And then with the INS together, the total total rate is the 21.29740. That is the way that it has been prepared at this point.
So what is your preference, gentlemen?
Well, I think like Ben has been saying, we're looking out on the horizon there, and we see some bad things coming. Could be.
Yeah.
And Washer wouldn't be a mind. I've always thought we needed to raise at least 2% a year just to keep even. So the way I feel about it.
I make a motion that we raise the M&O rate to the no new revenue rate plus 3%. Which is 0.1905861 for the coming year.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Three, you need one more.
Did you get me?
Did you get me?
Okay, I didn't get you, Patricia. Thank you. That makes it.
Okay.
That makes it fine with one dissenting vote from Michael, correct?
Yeah, abstaining, Ward, yes.
You're abstaining?
Yes.
Abstaining, okay. All right, so a motion passes that the tax rate be, I forgot what it was.
2185251?
Yeah.
Is that what y'all said?
The M&O rate would be 0.1905861.
Okay.
And then
the INS.
The INS.
Right.
Not on the 8551.
Okay, you got that?
Mm-hmm.
All righty. I guess then we need to go to our next item, which is
Brenda, did you get that?
I got the 3%
from
the
board. Do what? So that, and then Adrian has to speak. Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Well, it's Mark and Patricia, and then Ben and Max and John, and then Michael would stay.
And then do we need a vote on the budget approving?
Yes, we will have to, based on that also, as far as approving the preliminary budget.
Mm-hmm. I move that we approve your preliminary budget.
Okay.
Have we approved the preliminary budget with the change?
Right.
Yeah.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 That is a majority. Thank you very much. Motion passes.
Aye.
Scheduling budget, possible budget hearing.
Okay. So based on the scenario that we have, then you would have a tax hearing, and we had looked at possible dates in the event that you considered that, and that August the 27th, Thursday, August the 27th at 5:30 is the date that we had considered. And if you're comfortable with that, is that the date you want to use?
That's fine with me.
Fine.
Okay.
Agree. Okay.
Okay. You'll need to vote on that.
Okay. Have a motion to have that hearing on the 27th?
Motion.
Have a motion to have a second?
Second.
Have a second from Ben. All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Thank you. Voting passes. Thank you very much. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, may I also add to that, as you know, the budget hearing is something that's not required, but it's something that you all do as a part of your practice and policy. And so when the next board meeting will be on Monday, August the 31st, and that is when you will have your budget hearing. will approve the final budget, and you will set the tax rate. Okay?
Okay, I didn't think
we just go through a formality.
No, it's not a budget. It's the regular board meeting to just do the budget.
No, but you said
to approve.
Yeah, the budget hearing is, it's not a tax hearing, but the budget hearing is just a part of the regular.
All right.
Okay.
All
right. Okay.
Okay. Next item, open house, open Howard College update.
Okay. Just a broad overview. This is our first week of class. As you know, we started on Monday. Everything is going as well as can be expected. We have a small number of students in the dorms. We're continuing to have more students arrive this weekend on the Big Spring campus. That will continue over 4 weeks, and so to the Big Spring dorms, the SWID dorms, those students are in, and we have a small number. Therefore, we didn't have the concern to bring them in waves like we needed to do for the Big Spring dorms. We're able to distance those students out, and so things are going well. We are dealing with, as the students have learned our process, and they know that they need to do the self-assessments when they come to campus, the secondary assessment. They know that to ask themselves questions, and so if they have symptoms or if they have been exposed to someone, or if they have a recent confirmed case, then they know that they're to report that. So on a daily basis, we are dealing with situations that our students are, they're following the expectations, and so as that information comes in, then we make decisions on what to do. So things are proceeding. Again, I think as good as we can expect for the first week. And the next board meeting, regular board meeting on the 31st, we'll have a full report for you, but I wanted to give you an overview of that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Have you had recognition?
As far as recognitions in upcoming activities, okay. As a part of your calendar, you know that really what is coming up in the next few weeks, you will have, of course, your budget or your tax hearing, which will be next Thursday at 5:30, and then your next meeting will be on that Monday, the 31st. And so I think that as far as, you know, the next few days, that those are the main things that I would point out to you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, next item is the Board of Education and Settlements.
Okay. I've already, as a part of the workshop, I already shared some of the information relative to the legislative appropriation request that we did receive late yesterday afternoon, and we're still trying to dissect that, and we'll be involved in conversations at the state level, finding out more about what it means exactly as far as how they want us to approach the legislative appropriation request. The good news is we were concerned that we might have a two-week turnaround, but we're actually going to be given until September 18th. So that gives us a little more time. So we were pleased with that. And at the next meeting then on August 31st, we'll give you an update as far as what we find out. And then we'll have better information relative to what they expect with our exceptional item, which is our SWID appropriation. And then again, we'll give you an overview at that point in time. That's
okay.
All I have on that, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Okay. Trustee training update.
Well, your new board member for the Public Funds Investment Act, Open Meetings Act, Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board, New Trustee Training, and Cybersecurity Awareness. Since August the 3rd, he's been busy, and he's completed all of it.
Oh, very good, Ben.
Well,
very good. Very unusual. Yeah, it goes longer than that.
Usually he's in.
So that will be in the record. We have to share that information with the Coordinating Board. And so we will share that with him.
Okay. Okay, meeting evaluation, future agendas.
Just to clarify on the budget, that did include the debt for all employees.
Okay. Meeting evaluation future then, Adam.
I kept charging everything
up. Tomorrow?
Yeah, as far as today, and then as far as the next meeting, as I mentioned already, we've got several, you know, just the regular things that happen at that August board meeting. We will do the COVID-19 response status number 5, Open Howard College update. You'll have your budget hearing and approve the final 2021 budget. You'll adopt your tax rate. As far as any bids, I'm not aware that we have any right now. There may be some handbook catalog changes, the conflict disclosure forms. That's what we normally do at that meeting. Accountability measures, we're looking at several different things that we should present to you in the August meeting. Then approve the auditor. It's hard to believe, but we're about to start the audit again. And the reaffirmation of the investment policy and any changes in the Public Funds Investment Act, the agreement for assessment and collection of taxes, and the legislative appropriation. So that's what you will be hearing about at the August meeting.
Very good. Thank you. As a chair report, I don't have anything. I think we've gone through just about everything I can think of. So by the authority granted in me by the governor of Texas, I would declare this meeting adjourned.
Okay.
Thanks for visiting, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, guys. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.